So Stephanie runs a personal coaching business. Is that what you describe it as?
Well, it's a training, coaching, writing, a bit of everything.
And we talk a lot about neuro-linguistic programming, and we're not really talking about that today specifically. We're talking about goal setting.
Yeah.
In the wake of, no doubt, thousands of already broken New Year's resolutions.
That's right. They say that, I was looking at some research that says that the majority of people by the second week of January.
Oh, really? That early?
They've already gone out the window. You know? I think it's because people just maybe off the cuff go, oh, you know, I'm going to do blah, blah, blah in future. And maybe they do it for a couple of weeks. But then because there's no plan in place to make it happen, it just kind of gets forgotten. And then they make the same one again the next year and the next year and the next year.
I'm not the sort of person who makes New Year's resolutions. I've never really done it. But do people, are they quite serious about them often?
Well, I don't know.
They wish that they could change.
Yeah,
that,
I think the word wish there is the key. Mm. People wish they could, but they don't make any plans to make it happen. They just say, "Well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that," and it's kind of sometimes it's a bit of an off the cuff remark. Whereas I don't really do that. I'm set goals for what I want to achieve, and then move towards getting them. You know,
but you have a strategy.
Yeah. So I've got a book and an e-book as well called Goal Setting, 7 Principles to Achieve Remarkable Success. It's available in Raglan or from the website at Inside Your Mind. But it uses a strategy that I call PERFECT, which is an acronym for the 7 steps.
Right. And this is something that you've devised as a way of...
Yeah, something that I've devised. And because what I've found is people think goal setting is really easy, and it isn't. You know, I've got a whole book on it.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one that's written a book about goal setting.
Well, I'm sure it's also
about goal achievement, you know, not about just setting the goal.
That's the thing, yeah. Setting might be easy, but achieving is a whole other story.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you just set the goal and it's like, oh, I want to, you know, do blah, 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 and there's no plan to achieve it, no strategy behind it, then it's not going to happen. So maybe if I just tell you what the steps are, and then we could maybe go over the first one, because if you don't get the first one right, the rest is going to happen, right?
Yep.
So the first one is P for positively and precisely stated. So often people will set goals in the negative, which I'll come back to.
Oh, like, I'm not going to drink so much.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The second one is evidence, E for evidence process recorded. So how are they going to know when they've got whatever it is that they want? What are they going to see and hear and feel that will let them know that they've got it? That's a really critical one. Well, they're all critical, really. The next one is R, which is resources identified. So we all need some kind of resource to help us to get to the goal, whether it's money, help from other people, you know, time, energy, whatever it is that they need to get there. The next one is F. That's for the first steps identified. So when we set in particularly a big goal, we don't need to know every single step between now and getting the goal. We just need to know the first few. And then when we've got the first few, we can go, okay, what are the next ones? And then the next one is energy, E for energy, effort and enthusiasm. So, you know, often people start the goal and they're full of all those things, and then after a few weeks the energy and the momentum, the enthusiasm starts to wane, and then it just gets, doesn't even get put aside, it just gets forgotten about, and that's the end of it.
Mm.
And then the next one, the C, is compatibility, commitment and choice. So making sure the goal is compatible with you, that you're committed to it, and it's your goal, not somebody else's. Often, you know, especially maybe younger people are setting goals that their parents want them to, you know, like, I'm going to be a lawyer. Well, that's what the parents want them to be. You know, they'd rather be doing, you know, computer development or AI development or something, but they're doing goals that the parents wanted them to do. And the last one is timed and dated. So, you know, when do you want to have the goal by? Otherwise, it just keeps stretching on into the future. And while we can't always control the date and the time, sometimes we can. Like if it's to pass an examination, for example, you know when the exam's going to be.
Yeah, that's right.
And all that. So those are the key steps, and then, you know, there's a lot under each one.
Can I just quickly ask about the energy and enthusiasm one?
Yeah.
And there was a 30. That is that you have to know in advance, like, oh, I'm not going to have the energy to do all that?
No, let me have a look. So...
Because, like you say, people have a lot of enthusiasm to start with.
Yeah, they do.
And then it wanes. And do we need to kind of actually think a little bit ahead? Like, well, I know from past experience that if I take on a big project, I've still got my job and my family and all that.
Yeah,
it's
so
keep me busy.
It's about knowing that you're going to need this for you need the energy to last the distance. I mean, if it's just a goal that you're going to achieve in 2 weeks, well, probably that's not a reasonable goal. But, you know, some people set really big goals, really huge goals. And so if you don't maintain your effort and energy, then and your enthusiasm and passion for your goal, then what happens is you start procrastinating because you forgot what the goal is. So this is why it's important that we set it really positively so that it's appealing to us rather than just, a sentence that doesn't encompass all that. And also, if you've had an exhausting and emotional day at work, for example, then it's hard to, maybe maintain that enthusiasm for your goal, especially if it's something that you're doing outside of work. Like you've done a 10-hour day or something, you come home and the last thing you want to do is look at maybe your goal. So then it's about how your thinking drives your state, and how your state drives your thinking as well, and then that results in what behaviour you take and how can you quickly change your state so that you get more enthusiasm for your goal.
And I suppose also recognising today's not a good day to try and force myself into doing that.
Yeah, you start forcing yourself and then it becomes a chore rather than something that you were really passionate about.
Yeah. And that drains the energy even quicker.
Exactly, yeah.
So back to the first one. What was the first one again?
So the first one is positively and precisely stated. And it's really interesting because, I've worked with lots of people in terms of setting their goals. And the hardest thing for some people is to set a goal that's actually positive because they'll tell you what they don't want. So when it says positively stated, some people... I think it's a positive goal, but it's actually not. And the reason it needs to be positive is because your mind responds to whatever you give it. So a negation, like, I don't want so-and-so, it kind of gets rid of the don't and you're left with whatever it is that you don't want to focus on. So, for example, if I say, don't think about a purple teddy bear, you've got to think about a purple teddy bear before you can not think about a purple teddy bear,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so by setting goals with, what you don't want, you're constantly focusing on what you don't want instead of what you do want. So, but when you focus on your goal, it actually activates what's called the reticular activating system, which is at the back of the brain. And this is what causes us to notice things that fit with what we already have or want. So, for example, if you buy, let's say you buy a new blue car, say it's a Peugeot or something, right? And then you start noticing all the other blue Peugeots around, whereas you didn't notice them before, but now it's at the forefront of your mind. You keep noticing them and go, oh, I never knew there was this many blue Peugeots around, right?
And I suppose, too, if you state it negatively, you are still activating that part of your brain.
You are, but you're activated in the negative.
Yeah, so if I need to stop doing that stupid thing.
Yeah.
Your brain's going to just keep thinking about
doing the stupid thing.
Yeah, or like there's another opportunity to do that there. Yeah.
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 And people, I don't think, realise this. And also they don't realise they're setting a negative goal. So that often, I'll say to people, what do you want? So here's some examples. So they think it's a positive goal. So what do you want? They go, I don't want to do this job anymore.
Mm.
Okay, so what are they focused on? Doing the job.
Yeah.
Or I want to lose 10 kgs. Or now, 10 kgs, that might sound like a positive goal. I want to lose 10 kilograms, right? But what happens when you lose something? What's the first thing you do if you lose something?
Look for it.
You look for it, yeah, that's right. And how many people have lost 10 kgs and then found it again, plus a bit more? Right.
Yeah, a great many people.
Great many, right.
So how do you state that one?
So you'd say, I want to weigh whatever it is you want to weigh. So say, I want to weigh 70 kilos.
Right.
Yeah, so that's more positive then. Right?
Yeah, and it also sounds more permanent as well.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to argue with my partner. Okay, so what do you want then? Well, I want to stop arguing. Okay, so what do you want then?
Yeah, what so, will that be like?
Yeah, what that would be like. And it's like, well, I want peace, or I want to get along well with my partner, right? And I want to be debt-free or disease-free.
Yeah.
So again, what do you focus on, debt or disease?
So how do you say that?
How do you think you might say it?
Because I like the free. The free and debt-free sounds good.
Yeah, but the debt doesn't, does it?
No. No, I don't know. How do you say that?
I want to have financial freedom.
Or right, there. I want to be fiscally neutral.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Well, the other one is, you know, instead of disease-free, I want to be healthy.
That one's easy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
the money one must be really hard to think about.
Yeah,
what does it mean to...
So then it could be, okay, I want financial freedom, so then it might be, okay, so what does that look like? Well, it means that I've got so much in the bank, for example.
Yeah, I think if you say, I want to be rich, that people have all sorts of issues around rich.
Well, that's too vague, you see, because that doesn't meet the second criteria, which is precisely stated.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be rich. So the other things that people do is they'll say, I want to be fitter.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, fitter than what? You know, fitter than I am now. Okay, well, you know, could you do that in a week? Well, you could.
You could be in a week.
If you did some exercise, you'd be fitter in a week than you are now. And is that really a goal, you know? Yeah. So then it's like, what does that actually look like? So the precisely stated part is, so for example, let's say I want a new job. So let's say we've rephrased the other one. Instead of, I don't want to do this job anymore, I want a new job. So then it's like, well, okay, well, what type of job? And what do you want to do? And where do you want to do it? And what kind of environment do you want to work in? And how much do you want to earn? So all of those things come into it. So if we take that goal of and describe it clearly and precisely and in as much detail as possible, it might read something like, I want to work in a magazine editing role for a large women's magazine based in New York City. I want to work with a team of skilled writers who value my editing ability. It's a fast-paced, exciting and energetic environment with weekly deadlines. I'm earning at least $130,000.
That is precise.
Right, that's precise. Yeah. So another vague way people talk about goals is using the terms more, less, better. I want to be more disciplined. These are often like New Year resolutions.
Yeah.
I'm going to be more disciplined this year. What the hell does that mean?
You haven't been disciplined with the statement.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to eat less sugar. So less than what? Well, you know, I eat about a kilo a day now. So I'm just exaggerating.
You want to be able to get in the studio.
So let's say you eat, I don't know how you can. Let's say you're going to take less sugar in your drinks.
Yeah.
So let's say you have.
That's the precise 20, part, isn't
20
it?
20 teaspoonfuls a day.
Yeah.
Well, less could be 19.
Yeah.
Then that could be okay. That might be fine for some people, but other people go, no, I only want to have, you know, 2 teaspoonfuls a day or none.
Some people say, well, going from 20 to 19, that's almost a waste of time. But I imagine there's an argument for some people who have real trouble with goal setting that something simple like that might be just a little glimmer of hope that they can set and achieve goals.
Exactly. And that's another point is that if you set a goal that's too far out,
yeah,
you know, it'll feel overwhelming. So you've got to set something that feels outside your comfort zone. So it's a stretch goal, as I call it, or a big, hairy, audacious goal.
I haven't heard of that before. Okay.
But one that you feel it would be a bit of a stretch to do, but not so much of a stretch that it's overwhelming. If it's overwhelming, then it's better to go, okay, what's another goal that would lead me to that eventually that I can achieve in the meantime? So that's where the 19 teaspoonfuls of sugar instead of 20 might come in. You know, yeah, I could do that because I could just make it, you know, just a bit less of a teaspoon, a bit less than a teaspoonful in each drink or something, right?
And if you went, well, I'm going to get rid of it all, then you're immediately faced with a week of drinking sour-tasting coffee.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, I'll start next week. Procrastination.
Yeah, and so
I mean, it seems overwhelming.
And we know there's solutions. We know there's, I mean, if we get into the details, there's sweetener alternatives and all sorts of stuff like that. So there's all, yeah.
Yeah, so that again needs to be precisely stated.
Yeah.
And then another one would be, I want to be better organised. So, you know, what does that mean?
That's another one that reflects on itself, because that's not an organised person never says, I just want to be better organised.
No.
Their statement is organised.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I need to better organise my goal.
So if we took that one, for example,
yeah.
You could say, I want to reduce my sugar intake by 50% in the first month and 90% by within 3 months.
Yeah.
So that's more precise. Then, you know, you might stick at 90%. I'm going to be more disciplined might become... I'm going to be more disciplined at work by making sure I do my filing every Friday, deleting all emails that have been in my inbox longer than a week, keeping journal notes of what I've done each day, timing how long it takes to do each task, then improving on that time. This might also fall into the category of performance improvement goal. So that's in another chapter. But you can see that a lot more meaningful and measurable than... I want to be more organised.
Stephanie, you were in a goal setting book, so you must be able to achieve goals and set goals. Were you always like that though? Did you have to learn?
I had to learn how to set goals properly.
Yeah.
I think I've always gone after goals, but maybe not always kind of in a structured way. Depends on, but you know, when you're a kid, you set goals for simple things really. And then you're just moving towards them. And as you get older or you've got your own business or something, you might have different goals, you know.
Yeah.
So even to write the book, I had to set a goal for writing the book, you know. How many words am I going to write in a week? And then, you know, how am I going to edit it and all that kind of stuff?
It be if you'd been writing a goal-setting book and you couldn't get the job done?
Well, it's interesting. I started this week. What was it going to be called to start with? I think it was just going to be like an e-newsletter about something like 10 tips that stop you from getting your goal or something like that. And then as I started to work it through, I thought, oh, no, there's more than that. There's 13. And then it was like, oh, no, there's 6. Oh, no, there's... It ended up being 20. And I'm thinking, well, that's not going to be very appealing to anybody. 20 yeah. tips that stop you getting your goal. Yeah, nobody wants to read that, right?
Like the negative part of it.
So then it changed to goal setting. And it's not just about goal setting. Probably misread a bit. It's because it's about goal achievement.
Yeah.
So one thing to set the goal and then it's another to work towards it, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, you might have these, you know, performance improvement goals, things that are less tangible or more definable than others. So, you know, if you want to be a better guitar player, so that's better than what?
Yes.
Well, it's like, well, you need to specify that. But then how are you going to improve? The only way you're going to improve really is either by taking some more lessons and practicing and practice. So it might be, well, I'm going to practice 3 times a week for 30 minutes at a time, you know, or I'm going to practice this particular song until I can do it. So I'll just read you something from the book. When you learn something, a new neural pathway is created in the brain. This involves an electrical signal passing through the chain of neurons or nerve cells. The neurons kind of reach out and electrically connect or wire with other neurons. And as you practice, a part of each neuron, the axon, gets wrapped in a substance called myelin. The myelin forms an insulating sheath around the axons. The more you practice, the more you fire the circuit and the more myelin is added around the axons. As Daniel Coyle points out in his book, The Talent Code, the myelin optimizes the signal strength, speed and accuracy of the learning process. In other words, you become more fluent in your chosen discipline. You improve with practice. So depending upon what skill you're practicing, the length of time spent practicing may matter less than taking on board and incorporating the feedback you get from the activity itself. So, you know, rather than... made a mistake and carry on. Go back and correct the error that you made.
Yeah.
And then incorporating that feedback into the activity itself. So thoughtful practice is vital, not just playing the same thing over and over again. But, you know, if you make a mistake, stop and then go back and redo that so that you get it right. So it wraps the mile in and then you remember next time and then you might get a bit further in whatever you're playing the next time and then find a... another mistake, and then you go and correct that. So you get further and further rather than, say, just keep playing the same thing and hoping you're going to get better.
It's interesting. I had Lance King, who's a local author, had did a talk last Thursday. He was in the studio at the start of last week.
Yeah.
And he was talking about kids and learning how to fail well.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're a kid at school, you got 6 out of 10, that wasn't very good, or 4 out of 10 or whatever in a test.
Yeah.
And you're just left with that. But his thing is to... for the parents to help, to go through and see what got wrong, get the answer, write the right answer in, and then go to the teacher and say, is this all right now? And the teacher can go, yes, that's correct. And even though it doesn't count for the official test result, what you've done is what you're talking about there, which is you've practiced actually getting out of that failure state and into succeeding.
Because if you're in that failing state, the state affects your ability to achieve goals in the future. If you're in a better state, then you've got the energy to carry on. If you feel like you've failed, then that's a different mindset. That affects your physiology and your body and your ability to achieve the goal.
You also talked about like how the brain, the technicalities of how the brain was working there when you're learning to do something and the myelin's building up and all those connections have been made. Can you also do that for failing? Like, can you wire yourself for failure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can do the same thing.
Right.
It's just
procrastination.
Or procrastination, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And procrastination is, sometimes procrastination isn't procrastination. It's just that you've done the same thing so often.
Right. So you've got to recognise that it might not be something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
You can't goal set your way to everything.
No. Well, there's actually a blog on my website, insideyourmind.com. I think it's called... if you put in procrastination, it'll come up. But it's about, it's something called about a weird mind virus.
Yeah.
Right? And it's kind of like the person's decided that they're going to do something. So let's say they're going to write something. So they sit in front of the computer and there's a blank screen, you know, a white page ready to start. And then they go, oh, I need a cup of tea before I can get started. So off they go, make a cup of tea and come back, look at the white page again, and then they go, oh, no, I remember now, I need to call my friend, right? So I phone a friend. And they come back again and there's still a white screen there and they haven't written anything on it, right? And then it'll be like, oh, maybe it's breakfast time now, or maybe it's lunchtime, I'll have that and then I'll come back. So this happens, and it's because they've done the same thing so often that they've wired the brain to do that. So, you know, I say, well, one of the things that you can do is not sit in front of a blank screen.
Mm.
You could go... okay, I'm going to take the computer and work in a cafe. Or, you know, why don't I go and work in the kitchen? Or why don't I write it out by hand? Or why don't I record it on my phone and then write something?
Yeah,
so it's like setting up something different so that you're not wiring your brain continually for failure. Because then you just end up at the end of the day beating yourself up because you procrastinated all day.
And the worst thing at the moment now is if you're at your computer, the internet's right there, and all those little dopamine hits from social media, YouTube,
that's right.
TikTok,
all that stuff's
there.
We'll have to go into Facebook or something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's rewiring the brain.
That's rewiring the brain. In fact, this is interesting. Yesterday, somebody that is one of my master practitioners, he was on Telegram, and then he messaged me and said, oh, just a heads up, he said, I've decided to not work on Telegram anymore because I'm finding it's too much of a stretch, and I've also cancelled X and I'm off social media for a bit. Because he was finding he's getting too addicted. Well, I mean, I'm assuming that, getting too addicted to social media and
not doing
the work.
That's what it's designed to do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Gives you these dopamine hits, as you say. So it's kind of like making sure that you're focused on what you want and other ways to achieve it. So that's quite a useful article. As I say, if you put in procrastination on the website or...
on your website, insideyourmind.com.
Yeah, or weird mind virus. That's something called something like that. That's a lot what it is. It's like a weird mind virus that you've set up yourself because you've procrastinated on something and you've wrapped those myelin around those... neurons in your brain, and so you just keep doing the same thing, and then at the end of the day you've achieved nothing.
So folks, we're talking to Stephanie Filch. She's got a goal setting book with her this morning. We're talking about the PERFECT system, which is an acronym, and we started with P. Well, we focused on P.
Yeah.
Positively and precisely
stated, yeah.
But then we've veered off somewhere else.
Well, it's still kind of, it still fits into it because, every, you know, the whole lot all fit together. It's an organic process to, yeah, to achieve, yeah, a goal and not just, you know, writing it down. There's a whole lot, but we can talk about the rest in the next time we get together.
Yeah. But this is for the benefit of people who set New Year's resolutions. And statistics, research shows that most of you will have failed with them already.
Yeah, and some people have even forgotten what they were.
Well, it's good. You don't want to dwell on it. Don't want to dwell on your failure, Stephanie.
No. Well, the other thing is, I think that there's no failure. There's only feedback.
Right.
You only get feedback.
Yeah, good point.
If you term it as a failure, then, you know, then that's not good. But if you go, well, that's feedback, I need to do something different.
Yeah.
And then look for what you can do different. That's going to be more useful.
Yeah. All right, Stephanie, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, we're going to have a little break. And Peggy Oakey's turned up in the studio for my third interview of the morning. We'll be back with her in just a moment.